We continue on the on what I said before. About تحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. Allah said in Holy Quran, you think it is, it's easy, yeah, these things that has no importance, but to Allah everything is very important, even smallest. Allah said in Holy Quran, أحسنهم وعدهم عدا. Allah said in Holy Quran, أحسنهم وعدهم عدا. That He that what He created and still creating and keep creating, He أحصاهم, He counted them, and not only counted them, but عدهم عدا means one by one. He counted everything one by one. And if we think a little bit, Allah, does He need to count? Why He said, أحصاهم وعدهم عدا? Ali?
No.
Who أحصاهم?
Count.
عدهم عدا.
You know the total count.
So, means Allah, from His knowledge, He knows what is going to be created out of His, the ocean of Qudra, from Bahrul Qudra. Because everything is created by His power. Allah created everyone. He said, أحصاهم, means He knew about them. He made them what He in the past, in the future, in the present, and in the future, till eternity, where there is no limit of time. Allah, under His counts, everything is being counted one by one. Allah doesn't need to count. Why He said, عَدَّهُمْ عَدَّهُ, count them one by one. Allah assigned, there are special angels that Allah has created, that they count, their job is to count. These angels are, no one knows their numbers, because their number has to be so huge in order that they can count one by one of what Allah has created. Imagine on Earth, that small planet, that it is radius how much time? 20,000 kilometers? Diameter is 40,000 kilometers. It is a small planet that billions and billions that cannot be count of living and non-living species. Not billions, trillions, not trillions, zillions, not zillions, quadrillion, or how more, how we can count more? More than trillion, what you say? Above 3 million or more, might be 10 to trillion. How you can count the bacteria and the virus? You cannot count. If you count a human being, you cannot. How you can count the leaves of the trees? How many leaves of the trees? Then he comes. No comes. And this is on earth. What you think on this galaxy, our galaxy, that we are living in that galaxy, billions of stars. And what do you think about other galaxies? Allah said what? أحصاهم وعدهم عدا. أحصاهم means
he surrounded
them under his observation. عدهم count them. So angels with no number that we cannot imagine their number that Allah has created to count everything. So تحسبون أو هينا, you think it is Allah, what is this? Earth, sun, moon. We are seeing them every day. Yeah, we are seeing them every day. Don't think it is easy and simple. To Allah is so great, so important. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. To Allah is so great that don't imagine that it is easy. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَأَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لخلق السماوات والأرض أكبر من خلق الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
Creation of heavens and earth, Allah says in Holy Quran, is greater than creation of human beings. Although we say creation of human beings is so complicated with the system that Allah made to us and with the soul that Allah gave to us, that no one can do like that. And what Allah is saying in Holy Quran, the خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creation of heavens and earth is more, far more greater than the creation of a human being. Then imagine
how much huge is it. It is that when we look at these stars and reflect on them and think what kind of creation is there when Allah says the خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, it's greater than creation of human being.
Means we are not. Although we think we are everything. Allah created the heavens without pillars. How these heavens and earth are standing with nothing in a void. Can you put anything in a void? No. Allah is putting all these galaxies in void. Void? What we say for that? Empty absence. If something is empty absence, it doesn't exist. So if something doesn't exist, has in it an existence. Look Allah's Qudra, power, that He is in something that does not exist, making something to exist. When His irada comes, His will comes, that what He made to be existing in a non-existing atmosphere, He destroyed it in one blow. Everything goes. That's why it's not easy to understand that the kind of knowledge that Allah is giving to awliyaullah in from the secrets of interpretation of the holy verses of Holy Quran. It's not like we take the Holy Quran and we read, and the verse is this, and the verse that. What? That is it, like a storyteller. Reading and passing through. Every word in Holy Quran has meanings that never end. وَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. Creation of heavens and earth is greater than creation of a human being. And what we say, scientists today, they say, oh, creation of a human being is greater than everything. So don't think that it is easy. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيْنًا. You think it's easy. You don't give an importance or a value to what Allah has given to us. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. To Allah is great. He's all my servants. Anything you do is counted. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Anyone who does an atom of good, he will see goodness. Atom, he said. Means the smallest what you can imagine.
So, we have discussed in the previous session about that you think it's easy, but it's to Allah is great. And that's why people think that
seclusion is so easy or so simple. But when it comes from the order of the Shaykh, it's so huge and so heavy. When your Shaykh order you for a complete disconnection from people, to be away from family, to be away from your country, to be away from everything that you are in connection or in contact with, suddenly gives you an order to be away, that's not easy. That's very difficult. But with that difficulty, you will be able to polish, because he will polish your heart. You will clean, as I said today. They clean. Jali, what's it? Jala. Polishing. Polishing the heart until the heart becomes like a mirror. When it becomes like a mirror, it reflects all this knowledge inside it. Because this heavenly knowledge, you cannot learn them. You cannot see them without a polished heart, like a mirror. You bring the mirror, you put here, you can see everyone. Without that mirror, you don't have that reflection. So when your heart becomes clean through different kind of duties and awrad that the Shaykh gives to you, when it becomes clean, this reflection of knowledge reaches to you. I was telling Maulana when he said to me, go for seclusion, I said, can I read tafsir of Holy Quran? He said, no. In seclusion, can I read? He said, read Quran only, don't read tafsir. Because interpretation will come to your heart. As you are reading, this light from these words or the verses of Holy Quran come inspiration. As soon as this inspiration comes, you write. I said, how am I going to do that? What kind of inspiration is going to come? Because when he is writing, he writes from knowledge that he learned. But when you read Quran, when you are going to I said since Maulana said that, I will do that. And
I think the 7 days, 8 raja, after 8 days of seclusion,
while I was reading, came inspiration from some verses of Holy Quran, and I began to write.
I don't know what I was writing, and it ended up 100 pages. So what you were saying in previous session is that when you be ordered for seclusion, all the desires and gossips of the self will come to you in order to make you to run out. All kind of wild thoughts will come to you in different shape of wild animals. They don't let you to sleep, they don't let you to eat. They want you to run and run out. So with the barakah of the shuyukh, since there is a permission, what they want you to do is to kill that desire of the ego, of the self, that self which made itself a king, tyrant king, on the throne of the heart. Your heart is the place where all these beautiful inspiration comes. The self appointing itself to be a tyrant on you, using your heart as its place to sit. And that's why awrad is important to polish that, to take that away and throw it away. So that throne, now we continue, is bigger than the throne of Sheba. Throne of Sheba was full of different kind of gems, diamonds. Huge.
When the bird came to Sayyidina Sulaiman, he said, I saw a lady worshipping the sun with her people, and her throne is so huge. The throne of yourself that you are using in your heart for your desires is bigger and greater than the throne of Sheba. Means that hubbu dunya, the love of dunya, because kings, they like to sit on thrones full of diamonds, love of dunya. Hubbu dunya, the love of dunya, is the biggest enemy for you in your life. That's why it prevents you to reach that ma'rifah, more specifically, to reach that way. Instead of that throne to be decorated like the throne of Sheba is decorated with diamond, the throne of the heart that Shaitan is using in your heart and your ego is using is decorated with al-hiqd wal-hasad, hate and jealousy. Hate others and to be jealous from others. And it is decorated with all kind of ma'asi, sins. Sins that you can see and sins that you cannot see. Hidden and unhidden. And the non-hidden is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the hidden one is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That's what I fear most for my nation. Because the non-hidden, you can see it and you ask forgiveness. But the hidden, how you can see it. And that's why he said, أَخْوَفْ مَا أَخَافْ عَلَى أُمَّةِ أَشَّكْرِ قَفْ. The most I fear for my ummah is the hidden shirk. That hidden shirk means associating someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, no, we are not, you are Muslim, we don't associate anyone with Allah. No, you are associating. Non-Muslims, they tell you, Jesus, they associate Jesus with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we Muslims, we do not. We say, Allah la sharika la, Allah has no one to be with Him. But in reality, we are associating without knowing. We are associating our ego with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ourself. Because we say, me, me, everything, me, me. I am here. I am stronger than you. You are nothing. I'm better than you. That is the problem. That al-ananiyya, selfishness, is the problem that making everyone fight with everyone. That hidden shirk, unbelief, is what makes you to be away from reflecting and thinking about your Lord. Instead, you are reflecting and thinking about yourself. When we say do muraqabah, meditation, what you do in meditation? Where is the boss of meditation? Was here, I saw him coming. He's hiding, huh? So, when you say make meditation, means reflect on Allah's creation, how much you can be able to reflect? 2 minutes? 1 minute? And then immediately you shift quickly to reflect on yourself. And don't say no, because it's correct. When we enter in prayer, say Allahu Akbar, that prayer has to be reflection, to reflect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect on His creation, to reflect on what we are between His hands. What will happen? While we reflect, how much we are going to do today, how much money we are going to have, what kind of business we want to do, how many meetings we have to go, every kind of dunya, worldly matters comes to you when you are there. That is association, associating yourself and worshipping yourself and not worshipping Allah. That's what it is. Seclusion teach you how to polish yourself, not to associate. And that's why awliya Allah, they spend most of their life in seclusion. You don't see that. They are always either secluding themselves somewhere. So all this kind of the lowest umur, al-umur al-khasisa.
Lowly.
Lowly. Lowly issues, wa-dani'a, al-khasisa wa-dani'a.
Despicable.
That's what he said, despicable. It will coronate itself, makes you a king. So what's your coronation? It coronates itself to be king on you. That's why at the beginning of the seclusion, Maulana said, I want you at the third part of the night, that means at 2 in the morning, to be up, and one thing I want at that time is with the calling on Grand Sheikh and calling on me, on Maulana Sheikh Nazim, to be with me and with Grand Sheikh, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one important matter. He said, Naji Rabbaka. Supplicate to your Lord with the company of Grand Sheikh Sultan al-Awliya, with his bima'iyatihi, with his company, and with my company, Sheikh Nazim, coming to the presence of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spiritually, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a king to save the whole world from the possession of evil doers and from the hand of Satan, and to take away all kind of satanic power that has been glued to the hearts of people. That is one of your supplications at that time, 2 in the morning. He said, ask your Lord, that's why I'm sending you to seclusion, I'm asking you to ask on behalf of everyone, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a king, means to send a heavenly power, heavenly support, to send someone, malikan zahiran, not only a king hidden, but can be seen, to control everything in his hand, guiding people toward their destiny. That is the whole importance of that seclusion that you are doing. The interpretational meaning of that is that you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a king to every individual living on earth without distinction to Yatrud, to chase away, throw away the tyrant king of this earth from every individual. And he has to govern the hearts of people and to control them and take them toward the different levels of servanthood, maqam al-ubudiyya, the absolute level of worshipness, of servanthood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it's saying, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينِ خَالِصًا. For sure, Allah, for Allah is the purest religion and the purest way to go to Him. So when you meditate, when you sit and think and about and reflect, as Prophet ﷺ said to his companion, don't reflect on Allah, but reflect on His creation. Because no one can reflect and know about His Lord. That is a hidden treasure. No one can go there. Reflect on people around you, understand them. And the meaning of reflection is to separate. Every person is to separate between the two different levels of the self. النفس الأمارة والنفس الأمارة بالسوء والنفس المطمئنة. To separate the two selves, the two egos, the bad desire, the ego of the bad desire, the ego of the good desire. You have to separate them. When you separate them, you can see now what is good and what is bad. You can differentiate. You can understand. For that, وعليه يتعين له في الخلوة أن يحارب الأعداء الأربعة.
For that, he has this khalwa to fight for it.
It is important for him in his seclusion or in his reflection, as speaking in general, to fight the four enemies of the self. And the four enemies are nafs, the self, dunya, the world, worldly life, hawa, desire, bad desire, shaitan, and Satan. You have to fight these four enemies because they are controlling you completely from top to bottom. So if you are clever, you have to understand. فَفْهَمْ إِن كُنْتَ ذَكِيًّا. If you were intelligent, then understand. What to understand is how to call to fight these four enemies.
If Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Shaitan whispered in his ear and he ate from the tree.
That's Adam. Shaitan came, whispered little bit, what he did, he went and ate from the tree. Why he ate from the tree? Because Shaitan promised him, Satan promised him that this tree is shajaratul khuld wa mulkun la yabla, is the tree of eternity and kingdom that will never disappear if you eat from that tree. So the self, the ego, likes that. I'm going to be eternal. Every one of us likes to be eternal and likes to have kingdom that never disappears. Who was the richest person on earth? سيدنا سليمان هب لي ملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعدي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رب هب لي ملكا لا ينبغي من بعدي لا ينبغي أحد من بعدي أبدا. صدق الله العظيم.
سيدنا سليمان asked Allah, give me a kingdom that no one after me can have like it. And Allah gave it. What happened? It's gone. Where is it? Still existing. It's gone. Allah is saying in the Quran, He asked me, I gave him. But now it's gone. So there is nothing that can be eternal except Allah. So when Shaitan came to Sayyidina Adam, what he said, oh, I'm giving you a kingdom that will never perish. It's what he liked. But it's not going. No one can be like Sayyidina Sulaiman. No one can be like Prophet Sulaiman. If you are going to be like him, which is impossible, he is a prophet, you are a normal person. You want to be like whom? Like Karun? What happened to Karun? Allah took him. He has all these bunches of keys going out in front of his people and they say, oh, Ya Laytalana Mithla Karun. Oh Allah, oh, we wish that we have keys like Karun, that we are owning the wealth of dunya. What happened? Allah khasat fi. Allah destroyed him with an earthquake. Opened the earth, he fell down. Gone. What is left? Show me how many presidents and kings in this world. Anyone left? They are dying. What they take with them? Nothing. So Sayyidina Adam listened to Shaykh Iblis, and thinking that he's going to be eternal and not to perish his kingdom, he fell down. But he repented. That's what he meant. Allah knows we are weak, but He say repent. When you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive you. Anytime you repent, Allah forgives you. They come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some sahaba did something that Prophet was not happy with. Allah, what He said to them, what He said to him? خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم.
They come to Prophet. They did something big wrong. So Allah said, okay, never mind. They are coming to repent. What you do, take their money, sadaqah, to clean them and then pray for them. When you pray on their behalf, your salah is going to be peaceful. So what Prophet did?
They come to them and say, oh,
we made something wrong. This is sadaqah. They give you $5, $3
to the mosque.
Okay, so what Prophet did, he took 1/3 of their wealth for those three who came to Prophet who wants to clean themselves. What Prophet did, he took 1/3 of their wealth. Not 1/5, not 1/10, 1/3. He said, how much you have? How much wealth you have? And he said, okay, this is 1/3 I'm taking. To clean you with it. Because the most attachment of a human being is to have a kingdom that never perish. So it means attachment to wealth, attachment to money, attachment to whatever it is. So what Prophet did? Okay, come. You want me to help you? I'm taking 1/3. Then he cleaned. وصلي عليهم. Allah ordered him, after you clean them, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray on them, give them your prayer. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ كَانَتْ سَكَنًا. Your prayers is going to be a peacefulness for them. They will feel easy. They will feel at peace. They finish. They have been forgiven. Are we looking forward for that? No one cares. We hear, okay, that's it. It comes in this year, it goes from this year. Only we are hearing, but we are not really doing it. Very few people are doing it. There are people that can, they will do that. So, when you are in dunya, Satan and his helpers come to you with all their forces to make you to continue running after dunya like a dog running after a bone. Never stop it, day and night. In all your ham concern is how to run after dunya. There is nothing else. They make you to be so busy that you cannot pray your prayers, you cannot do your awrad, you cannot do anything of what you are assigned to do daily. All your concern is how to run after that bone. All of us are good. So they make you, and this is all outside the in dunya. And when you are in seclusion, it's a different way. So they will decorate for you this whole dunya with full decoration. حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث. ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن الثواب.
Zuyina lil-nas means it has been made to people that you know on these televisions now, they make the best, Hollywood makes for you the best video clips in order that they will attract your what? Your eyes, to look there. That's what Shaitan is doing. So there are inheritors of Satan. Satan is trying to attract your eyes. So how you attract your eyes? زُيُّنَ لِلَّهِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَةِ. To love every kind of desires. He makes you to be attracted to all kinds of desires, like what they do in Las Vegas. Anyone there? Raise his hand. Allah Akbar, how are you doing? It's attractions. They call it attractions, no? All kinds of attractions Shaitan is putting in front of you. From man or woman, both sides, sex mean, from money, from children, from gold, from silver, from horses. Allah mentioned horses in Holy Quran. After He's mentioning gold and silver, He mentioned wal an'am musawwam. Horses, He called still today, horses are the most expensive things after, even before anything, even more expensive than diamonds. There are horses, they sell them for $20 million, $30 million, $15 million. Is that? Allah mentioned it in the Holy Quran. A horse is more expensive than a house. And all these princes and Gulf people and rich people in different countries, they own horses, and every horse is 20, 30 million dollars. For what? Allah said it in the Quran, this is going to be their attraction. And till today, it is the attraction of people. See, Quran, how far? He didn't say Las Vegas. He said, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, that the attraction for people is loving all kind of desires, especially women. All video clips are women. You see men in video clips? Huh?
No.
Anyone see what I say? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Yes, sir.
The channel.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Holy Quran 1400 years, and this is true today. Then after that he said from gold and silver. Everyone run after the gold, after gold and silver. The horses, that it is very strong and very clean and very fancy. Wal an'am, an'am means any other thing. So this is the attractions that are being given to us by Satan. Our baneen and children, everyone wants his children to be after him, to take whatever inheritance. Some they don't have anyone to obey, so they need the dogs and the cats. It's okay. So, if you have an enemy and you declare war against him, what that enemy is going to do? He's going to use all kind of his forces to come against you. If you have a bomb, he will come with a 10 bomb. If you have anything to fight him, he will come against you 100 times bigger. So if you declare a war against these attractions that Satan is giving to you, means you are declaring war against Satan and his supporters. What do you think the response is going to be? When you declare a war against your enemy, the response is to come against you. So when you are declaring war and say, Ya Rabbi, I'm declaring war against Satan and his supporters, he's going to declare war against you, at least. And that is the meaning of halwa. Halwa means to put you in a place to declare war against Iblis and his supporter. And then imagine how much you are going to suffer from Iblis and his supporter in that situation. He is going to bombard you with everything possible that you can imagine. You think, not now, but in previous time, when they used to do halwa with big saints, like Grand Sheikh and Grand Grand Sheikh and Maulana Sheikh, in their seclusion, snakes come inside. I was always looking for a snake. But I was hearing a sound by the wall, like a sound of, you know, the what you call it when the snake they have at the
rattle.
I was hearing that voice. I cannot sleep. Turn my head this way, hearing the voice. Turn my head this way, hearing the voice. I cannot move. I don't want to move because. But there it goes, exactly. When you don't give attention, that will go. They ask a wali, are you doing your zikr? Zikr Allah, 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 Kabir in Arabic. He said, why? I have forgot him to remember him? I'm there! I, in every moment of my life, I'm there. I am not forgetting him to remember him. So when your focus is directed to your awrad and to the Shaykh, and then from the Shaykh to Prophet, from Prophet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can affect you. Nothing. So it is a declaration of war against Satan. And for sure, enemy doesn't want hazima, defeat. So either they kill you or you kill them. That's it. There is no prisoner. They don't take prisoners. In such a war, no prisoner. Either you die or they die. Choose. So if you think you are going to die, you are going to fight till the end with all your force. So fight from day one. There is no other alternative. I'm telling you what, not everything, but part of what I was writing. So it was a complete war. That either they kill me or I kill them. Not a war of bombs and explosions and explosives and swords and so on. But a war of channeling inspiration and reflecting on to be always the ma'iyyat al-shaykh. With the company of the Shaykh. Because if you are with the company every moment with the Shaykh, you are safe. If you, for a blink of an eye, you are away from the Shaykh, you are gone. They will defeat you. You don't know where they throw you, in which land. So, وَلَا يُمْكِنْ لِإِبْلِيسِ أَنْ يَرْضَ الْهَزِيمَةِ لِأَنَّهُ يَكُونْ قَدْ خَسِرْ.
Iblis cannot accept defeat because that means he lost.
He cannot accept defeat because then he lost. And he is the one he said, لَأَغْوَيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ.
He's the one that says that I will misguide them.
Or accept those who are sincere.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah said to him, answering him, when he said, I'm going to misguide them all, except those who are sincere to you. He is accepting Allah. He is speaking with him. He said, I'm going to design them, but not those who are sincere to you. Look at the negotiation. And what Allah said? إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان.
إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان إلا من اتبعك من الغاوين.
Allah answering him. Oh. Iblis speaking with his Lord. Means he is accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing his job. He has a job, he has to do it. If he didn't do the job, who will do the job? He will be jobless. When you go deep, your mind will be shattered into dust. If Iblis did not do that job, who would have done that job? He sacrificed himself for the sake of the Ummah. And he is cursed. And he accepted the curse. And judgment day he's going to say, give me my reward.
Not denying that. And Allah, what he answered him? إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. My sincere servant, you have no control on them. Why Allah is negotiating?
Negotiating for what? Isn't it? It's in Holy Quran. It's not someone that we brought it from here. It's in the Quran. Allah cursed him. He's cursed. But he did what he has to do by Allah's will. Allah's will is that Iblis not to obey him. Allah ordered, you make sajda. But Allah's will for him not to make sajda. Understand if you are clever. Irada wa amr, amr wa irada. Order and will. You are ordered to do this, but Allah's will is not that you do this. So Iblis was ordered to make sajda, he didn't. All angels made sajda except him. Why? Because Allah's will doesn't want him to do this. Because he wants to make him to carry that responsibility of testing all human beings to be good or not good. So when you declare a war against Iblis, it's going to be a harb al-mudammira, a destructive war, like an atomic war. There will be nothing left. He, either he or you. Choose. For sure he's not going to die, he's going to stay till the end of the day, till judgment day, but his power will be less on you. It will be defective. He cannot anymore control you. You will be not anymore under his control. He will cry. Grand Sheikh was telling one time, he said to me that I was in I brought Sheikh Nazim, may Allah give Maulana Sheikh long life.
Ameen.
I brought Sheikh Nazim to make seclusion with me for 1 year in Madinatul Munawwar, facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dawn in one of the buildings. For 1 year. At the end of the 1 year, when the seclusion is finished, 1 year. I was 50 days, I was crying. 1 year.
You lost weight.
I don't ask about that. I lost 25 pounds. 1 year, when Maulana Grand Sheikh entered the seclusion, there were two windows in the room. He brought two big boards, plywood wall, and he hammered the two windows. Everything in the room, no light. You don't know day or night. They know that they pray, they have no chance. They have no chance.
And Mawlana Sheikh Nazim was saying that
for 1 year, at the Tulth al-Akhir, at 2 o'clock in the morning, before Fajr, or 1:30 in the morning, after midnight, Murad Sheikh is doing dua for 1 hour or 2 hours, non-stopping, non-reading from book. And he said the dua that he was reciting, reading, does not match dua that was recited last yesterday. Duas were coming like a fountain of prayers on his heart, and he is reading. And with the tajalli, with the manifestation of that energy that dressing him, the whole room was shaking. And this is what Mawlana Sheikh Nazim said, what Grand Sheikh said, on the same issue in different time. He said, when I was making dua, I was holding Allah's throne with my hand, asking for king for the Ummah of Muhammad, for that power. And that I was shaking all myself. When you are in that, in seclusions, and that tajalli comes, that manifestation comes, you cannot control anymore yourself. You be feeling you are flying, and no one can stop you. With that tajalli, when it comes, it's like laser. You can move mountains with it. So he said that at the end of this 1 year, now go check that. Behind the door, after Maghrib, because fusion ends after Asr, by Baghdad time, I was hearing one person, one individual, and you can hear behind him thousands of individuals are crying. Crying and crying and crying. And the Grand Sheikh saying, I was in the room and Sheikh Nazim with me on the side, and I was on my side. And I was hearing it. And that person was saying, these two are lost from under our control. Immediately, Grand Sheikh said, immediately in my heart came that this is Satan and his followers. I opened the door quickly and want to catch him from his neck. And as soon as I want to catch him, they stopped me. Because I went to finish him at that moment. They said, no. He's going to be in judgment. It's a joke. He was paid for it. So he said, these two are not under our control anymore. So, we have to go through this all, inshallah, Ramadan. Now we are going page after page. We finished one page. So this is the benefit of seclusion when it is being given by order of the Sheikh. Some people, they might go and say, I'm in seclusion. And who gave you the order? Who gave you the permission? There are many today that even they are not Muslim. They say they are going for meditation. What meditation? Meditation for you. Must be Islam. You are a Sufi under Islamic Sharia. You cannot play with Sharia and say, I'm Sufi, I don't care for Sharia. No. Sharia is before. Tasawwuf is after. There is no tasawwuf without Sharia. And there is no Sharia without tasawwuf. May Allah forgive us. And inshallah, we'll continue next time.
with what? So that the war is a destruction, what you said, Dandana? Destructive war between good and bad, between al-khayr wa al-shar, between good and evil. فَالشَّرُّ ظَاهِرٌ وَالْخَيْرُ حَقٌّ.
Evil will be destroyed.
Good is going to stay. No way for evil to overcome good. But every war has to have a strategy. You cannot declare war without a strategy. So that you have to make a strategy in this inclusion, how you are going to prepare the war against devils and Satan. And that's why Allah said in Holy Quran, قال الله تعالى في الكتاب الكريم فألهمها فجورها وتقواها.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah inspired himself with good, it's good and it's bad. Allah taught, this is bad, don't do. And this is good, you do. إن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد علمك أساليب التقوى التي عليك استعمالها وعلمك أساليب الفجور التي يملك للنفس الأمارة باستعمالها.
He
showed you the way for piety and what kind of method and strategy you have to follow, and that's why he gave you 500 ma'murat, 500 different type of ma'mur, bihi, obligations that you have to follow. And he showed you the badness, the evil. It is 800 manhiyat, it is 800 forbiddens that you have to avoid them. And told you these are the 800 that the ego is going to use against you. Leave, be careful. And these are the 500 weapons I am giving you to fight the ego. That's why he said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He inspired the self. It is what is good and what is bad. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who will is the one who will do the good and leave the bad. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Who does the bad is going to fall down. May Allah not make us to fall down
and keep us always up against our bad desires. We stop here, we continue later, and there is a very, very important, inspiration that came. Inshallah, we have to explain it, but I don't know when we can reach it.